I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we're going to talk about communism, inequality, and catastrophe. Communism, inequality, and catastrophe. Now, part of what brought this on is, well, of course, there is the ongoing advance of Marxism in America, which many of us are completely aware of. Some people out there are just learning about it. But the reality is this is a movement that has been going on in this country for more than 100 years. Once you understand the history of it, and that is not a conspiracy theory. It's important to remember this is well documented by our own Congress, documented by leading authorities in this country throughout the 20th century, especially. Now, part of what inspired me to do this show today is an article here about a BuzzFeed editor for the website called BuzzFeed, who said, quote, "All I want for Christmas is full communism now. All I want for Christmas is full communism now." And the article that appears on InfoWars says BuzzFeed UK's science editor Kelly Oakes has set her Twitter account to private after declaring, "All I want for Christmas is full communism now." And of course, there was a backlash online because there are people online who survived the Soviet Union. They remember what it was like under Soviet communism, and others from other countries. In fact, if you watch the film Agenda, there's Agenda and then there's Agenda Part 2. Agenda Part 2 begins with an interview with a man from Cuba, and he is talking about having seen the rise and the takeover of communism in Cuba, and how, you know, he left Cuba, came to America, and sees many of the same elements at work in our country, and that this is a concern for him. And it's a powerful opening segment to the film, I thought, when I saw it some time ago. But, and he's trying to warn the American people, to warn Americans about what is happening, and to take this seriously, and to recognize that, yes, it can overwhelm your country. Remember that just during 4 years, or during just 4 years of the Carter administration, it is said that 13 countries fell to communism during that period, and they fell to communism as a direct result, it is said, of President Jimmy Carter's policies. It was his political policies that enabled communists to take over all these different countries. 13 countries fell. Think about that. And communists, the Marxists, are working in countries now with Islam. Since the end of World War II, they are using Islam, and, you know, whether it's the communists or the socialists, the Marxists, they are using Islam as a weapon against Christian countries in particular, to flood these countries with the Muslims, get them in there as kind of a fifth column army to begin to systematically undermine and overthrow whatever remains of Christian tradition and the Christian influence in the laws of this country or other countries in the West. That seems to be what's happening. But this whole idea of communism now, this was something that where the Democratic Party is concerned and the left, the liberal movement in the United States, when I was a kid through the 1970s, 80s, and into the 90s through Bill Clinton and this kind of thing, after the Reagan era, people went around saying that they believed communism was dead. because of Ronald Reagan, because he had brought down the Soviet Union. And I remember even talking to my dad sometime afterwards and about communism at work in America. And he said, oh, son, communism is dead. That's what I remember. Well, then I'll never forget reading an article, and I want to say it was from Tex Mars. I think it was from Tex Mars. And Tex Mars says, look, there's people who are saying communism is dead. And he says, friend, I'm here to tell you, it is not dead. It is alive and well. Just many people don't realize it, because it's almost like it, kind of like the monster movies where the monster is killed, right? And he falls on the ground and you think he's dead. And then just seconds later, bam, he gets up and reaches out and grabs at somebody. And so you thought he was dead, but he's not really dead. That's kind of what's happened with communism in our country. For those of us who can remember the Cold War and remember the progress of this history. Now, after Bill Clinton, there was always this left-leaning element, always there. Once Barack Obama came into office in 2008, left-leaning became leftism, full-blown leftism. Some of you will remember when Obama was running for office back in 2008, how some of his supporters, they had offices where they were hanging up t-shirts and flags and so on with images of Che Guevara down there in Cuba, the famous communist revolutionary. His picture is really iconic. And they have it on t-shirts and flags and all this other kind of stuff, glorifying Che Guevara, who is also said to be a thug and a murderer. But that's very, very common. Very, very common. And it's so important to remember this when you see these Jane Fonda type leftists and they talk about human rights violations and, oh, it's so important to protect human rights and you can't violate rights and on and on and on. And first of all, they don't have any idea where rights come from. So important that we as Christians reclaim our heritage, that the whole concept of human rights begins with the Bible and God's law. That's where it begins. Because you have a right to life because God says thou shalt not kill. You have a right to own property because God says thou shalt not steal. You have a right to expect that people will speak the truth about you because God says thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and so on. This is where rights come from. Rights come from God based on God's law. That's what we've lost in America. It's what we've lost in Western civilization. Western civilization used to understand this from the time of the Reformation onward. That's what led to the birth of freedom. Now it has been systematically washed out through misinformation and lies, systematically through our schools and so on, and through the media. It's been washed out of the public consciousness. That's the problem. That's why I've said, I'll say it again, and I'll say it over and over again, if we don't find a way, no matter what policies are adopted by President Trump or anyone else, if we don't find a way to take back the schools and drive the Marxist brainwashers out of our schools and colleges and universities, that will be ultimately what fully and completely eventually undermines America and the West. The reason this BuzzFeed editor, who, if you look at her profile picture there, she looks like she's 20-something years old. You know, maybe she's 30, but she's young. She's very, very young. 10, 20 years ago, nobody would have ever said anywhere that we want full communism now. Nobody would have said that. You would have had a handful of people saying that somewhere. In some remote club, in a coffee shop somewhere, that may, you know, the American communists or whatever. But nobody would take them seriously. Everybody would say, oh, those people are just crazy. But the idea that this is becoming more and more the norm, especially in the college campuses and the universities and the schools, more and more you've got people who are openly proclaiming that communism and socialism and Marxism is the salvation of the world. I saw an interview with a young girl, and she was saying, well, yeah, we need to have communism or socialism. Why? She said, well, it's the only way to end inequality. It's the only way to end racism and bigotry and misogyny, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of these alleged problems that exist, these inequalities that are going on, the only way to get rid of them, supposedly, is through communism. And that's why it's very important that we recognize what's going on, because in the Christian community, Christians can be, I think we can be drawn in by this idea of being compassionate toward people, because that's what draws most people in, is this compassion for the downtrodden, which is part of our Christian faith. It's part of biblical teaching, there's no question, part of the teaching of Christ. But we also have to remember the deception of Judas and how Judas said when Mary came and opened her alabaster box and was anointing the Lord's feet, and Judas said, should not this ointment have been sold and the money given to the poor? And the scripture says in John, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but he was a thief, and he was the holder of the bag, the poor bag. And the impression we're given is that he took money out of the poor bag from John's gospel. And that's a picture, I believe, of socialism and communism, this feigned philanthropy, this feigned concern for having compassion for the poor and the downtrodden and the minority groups and this kind of thing, when they don't care anything about that. What they care about is power. They care about getting the money and the power for themselves, for their own selfish and greedy ambitions. That's what they care about. But it is disturbing to see this call for communism and socialism more and more. We have to remember the progressive movement. They've been disturbingly, worryingly effective at being able to advance these agendas. Think about gay marriage. They talked about gay marriage for years. I mean, I could show you back in the 1980s, if you get Ralph Epperson's book on the New World Order, he foretold back then that gay marriage would ultimately be legalized by the globalists in our country, that was part of the agenda. Now, how did he know that back in the 1980s, decades before it happened? And of course, you had people making the argument in the media, in Hollywood. Lawyers were fashioning arguments. Sure, they were put down in the courts. They were rejected, but then they would come back with something else. And they would come back again and again and again until finally they found a way to get this gay marriage ruling. And it may be that they're now ready to progress the idea of full-blown communism and socialism. Now, of course, this editor, just so we know, is a UK editor. And the UK, there's no question, they're full-blown Marxist government. They're worse off than we are, especially in terms of bringing in the Muslims and so on. And the subverting of their schools is just a terrible situation, especially for Christians over there. Terrible situation. And hopefully, we hope and pray that the Lord will somehow or other grant deliverance, that this situation gets turned around in the UK and here in our own country as well. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We're going to talk more when we come back. We're going to review an article from The Atlantic that says the only thing that has curbed inequality in history is catastrophe. When we come back, right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about the advance of communism and socialism in our country. We're going to talk about this article here on The Atlantic about how, well, the headline says the only thing historically that's curbed inequality, catastrophe. Catastrophe. And this is actually, I think, a very important article because of the history of this kind of thinking. But I did want to mention we have on our website, for those of you who might be listening to us through Worldview Weekend, we do have our own website called noiseofthunderradio.com, noiseofthunderradio.com, where you can go and listen to some of our archived shows. We usually keep a number of archived shows there on the website that you can listen to for free whenever you like. It's a podcast you can download from our own website. You can also get a subscription to our resource room if you're interested. Also, you could go to our film website, adullamfilms.com, A-D-U-L-L-A-M, films.com, named after the cave Adullam from 1 Samuel chapter 22, the cave that David fled to when he was being persecuted by King Saul, Adullam Films. And there you can see all of the documentaries that we produced. And now, about a dozen. We've got about 12 audio CDs that we've produced over the past few years. In fact, we've just produced about 5 new ones on a variety of different topics. The latest one is called Frankenstein and the French Revolution. But there's a whole list of them. We've got one on Luther, his views on the Antichrist, Lincoln and the 14th Amendment. What is it? Rule of the Wicked. That's one of them. And then Resistance to Tyranny. That's another. But you can get the 5-pack there. We've got that on sale. You can also get the 12-pack now. If you go to the Adullam Films homepage, on the left-hand column, you'll see the newsletter there, featuring the 12-pack and the 5-pack for those who are interested. But we've got them marked down substantially. The 12-pack, I think, is marked down at better than 50% off the total volume for all 12. You get better than 50% off the 12-pack. So check it out at adullamfilms.com. All right. We are going to continue our discussion here about this article from The Atlantic. And here's the full title of the article: The Only Thing Historically That's Curbed Inequality, Catastrophe, Plagues, Revolutions, Massive Wars, Collapsed States. These are what reliably reduce economic disparities. Okay, now, I'll just read the opening paragraph here. It says, calls to make America great again hark back to a time when income inequality receded even as the economy boomed and the middle class expanded. Yet it is all too easy to forget just how deeply this newfound equality was rooted in the cataclysm of the world wars. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. That is a very, very telling. It's accurate, certainly. But it's also a very telling, a very revealing aspect of American history. And it has everything to do with communism. First of all, the argument, right at the beginning, this idea of income inequality, and that something has to be done about income inequality. That is an entirely Marxist argument, brethren. We have to understand that. That is a violation for the government of our country and for our schools to be teaching this. I really believe it's a violation of the 10th command, where God says, thou shalt not covet. And the whole concept of income inequality is all based on inspiring and provoking covetousness among the common people. Now, you compare this with biblical admonitions for choosing leaders. For example, Exodus 18, chapter 18, verse 21, it says, quote, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. That should be an aspect, a quality, a character trait of men who govern, that they hate covetousness. Interesting. But this whole idea, now back to this Atlantic article, about how it was catastrophes and world wars that supposedly helped to solve some of the problems of inequality, the cataclysm of world wars. We've talked about on this program before the Rees Committee from the 1950s. The Rees Committee was a congressional committee headed by Congressman B. Carroll Rees. The Rees Committee was brought together for the purpose of investigating the tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Guggenheim, and the Carnegie Endowment, and their influence over our system, our country, and our education system in particular. What they discovered, of course, was a plan among these foundations to essentially remove our Judeo-Christian foundation and lead our country one step at a time into communism. And that this is not something that happened accidentally. It's not just a coincidence. No, it was a very organized, orchestrated plan that these people who had a lot of money and were able to keep a lot of money because of their tax-exempt status, and then use that really as a weapon to fight against Christianity and bring in Marxism. And you have the testimony of Norman Dodd, who was the director of research for the Rees Committee. In fact, you can go online, type in Norman Dodd, D-O-D-D, and you can listen to and watch his videotaped testimony before he died. But he talks about going and examining the records of these foundations and how back before World War I, they had had a meeting with these foundation leaders. And at the meeting, they asked the question, what is the number one way to bring about dramatic change in society, in a country? And they investigated that, and they came to the conclusion that the number one way to bring about dramatic changes and shifts in society is through war, that war is the number one way to do it. And then the implication from there was that it was this kind of thinking that instigated the involvement of the United States in World War I. And then you're given the impression that this may well have instigated the involvement of the United States in World War II, and that these two world wars had everything to do with the ultimately the massive shifts and changes in the understanding of our society. And right after World War II, you get into the 1950s and 60s, and then bam, you have this counterculture movement with the sex, drugs, and the rock and roll, and the hippies, and the hippie movement was really a communist movement. Because the hippies were communists. That's basically what they were. And they were sent in kind of like the demolition crew for redesigning a house. You know, you have a new design for the house. You want to get rid of the old stuff in the house. So you have to send in a wrecking crew to smash all the stuff that you don't want. You smash the bathtub and the toilet and the sinks and everything, and you tear them out and you throw them out and get rid of them. That's kind of what the hippie movement was about. All the discipline, the morality, the traditional values, everything, tear it down, smash it, wreck it, get rid of it. We're going to get rid of the Bible. We're going to get rid of Christian morality. We're going to do away with it. Why? Because then they want to come in and replace it with something else. And that something else that they want to replace it with is communism. That's where they are headed. But it's important that we understand that these subversive powers at work in the United States, they have been at this for 100 years and possibly more, possibly longer. It's hard to say exactly when it began, but it went on throughout the 20th century and it has now followed us into the 21st. We need to be in prayer. As the scripture says, it is time for you, O Lord, to act, for they have made void thy law, the law of God. And that's what we need. We need God's power, God's help, and God's word to be delivered from these antichrist enemies at work in our country. All right, brethren, we are out of time. We're going to have to stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.